follow all that, I'm going to ask Richard Schoonover gets to come and follow that. Aren't you excited? Yes. Richard's going to come up, and I've asked him to pray, but I also have a question for him to start the night out. Told you our theme is multiple generations worshiping together, teaching each other. And so, Richard, as a pastor, how have you seen different generations work together to share the gospel? And I had to answer that, rephrase that. I asked him earlier, and he just says, yes. So I had to ask how now, so go ahead.
Our last pastor was a small church in Nebraska, and it was basically a family church. In other words, some of the founding members were still there. Their kids were still there. Their grandkids were still there. And sometimes even great-grandkids. And so, you know, you think, well, it's a family church. And yes, you're intergenerational, but, you know, they're ministering just to their family members. But this church extended beyond their immediate family that was, or those who were part of the church. They reached out into the community and ministered to the community. Matter of fact, they are still ministering to the community. Some of the grandmas and grandpas and some of the moms and dads are reaching out into the community. They have their Royal Rangers and their Girls Impact Clubs. They take a bus to the school one day a week and pick up probably about two-thirds of the students in the grade school and bring them to church for Royal Rangers and Girls Impact. So the grandmas, the moms and dads are reaching out into the community. But one of the interesting stories has reached as far as Springfield, Missouri, as far as Central Assembly. We had a lady in the church who was divorced. So she was a single mom and had some children. And they came to church. And, you know, they were pretty faithful to the church. And we moved away, came down here, kind of lost track a little bit of where they were. And one day, one night, we were in this room right here, and Pastor Craig was talking. We had a bunch of leaders here, and Pastor Craig was asking people to stand up and introduce themselves and tell kind of what they were doing. And this guy stood up, and he says, "My name's Ryan Connor." And I turned around, and I looked, and I thought, that's Ryan. That's, you know, last time I saw him, he was about 10 years old. And so after I wasn't able to connect with him that night, but the next time I saw him at church, I connected with him. And I said, "Hey, what's going on? Tell me a little bit about what's going on." And he had come down here, and he was working with the young people here in the church. He married a girl that was, maybe it was Mike's secretary, Mike McCrary's secretary for a while. And they're in youth ministry today. But, you know, there were some grandmas and grandpas in that church. He did not have a stable home life. There were some grandmas and grandpas in that church. There were some other people in that church that poured into his life. And he wasn't the only one that they poured into. But he was one of them that, here's a little small church out in the middle of Nebraska, small rural community. They impacted one life. And he today is impacting teenagers in a church in Nebraska as their youth pastor, and even impacted our youth for a while. And so I've seen grandmas and grandpas, I've seen moms and dads, and I've seen them reach out and beyond their own family, reach out into the community and have an impact and touch the boys and girls in their community, in their community, to see them know Jesus Christ and to grow in a relationship with him. And there's others in the church I could talk about that grandmas and grandpas poured into their lives because they didn't necessarily have good, strong grandma and grandpas. And we had people in the church that kind of took them under their wing and mentored them and helped them to be the godly young people they are today. So, yes, I've seen intergenerational ministry at work.
And that's neat. Richard, when you were talking, I was seeing this picture of we might not have our siblings here. We might be here for college or different things. But that church family is something that you were hitting on quite a bit, yeah. That church family, which we are all a part of. and can minister through volunteering and other things like
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
That's great. Can you pray for us for this evening?
Sure. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to get together tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for the boys and girls who are with us tonight. And we pray that we as grandparents and as moms and dads, as parents here, and as other brothers and sisters in the Lord, and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas in the Lord, God, that we can pour into their lives and we can help make a difference in their lives, that they'll grow up knowing you because others besides mom and dad have poured into their lives, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time. We thank you for Pastor Justin and his vision that he has for the children of our church. And so, God, just help him tonight as we have this service. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right now, we are going to dive into the Word, and we're going to look a little bit in Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 3. Now, for some of you, this might sound familiar, and I know Pastor Mike has been talking about family ministries, and he's probably referenced the Shema, or maybe even gone over it. And in Deuteronomy, past these chapters here, it talks about the Shema, which is train up a child in the way they should go and teach them basically everywhere you're at and everything you do. And this is the introduction to that. And I thought this was really important because it pulls out some key verses here. Now, if you'll find at your table, we have some paper and Crayolas. If the kids would like to take notes through pictures or whatever, or if you'd like to take notes in Crayola, feel free. I won't judge, I promise. But before we get started on the verse, I want to talk a little bit about what was going on. Abraham is getting ready to talk, and he's talking to the Israelites, and I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with him, his audience at the time. Well, first of all, the Israelites had just left slavery in Egypt. If you remember, the 10 plagues happened, they were released, and then they had to wander because of their disobedience. They wandered in the desert. Well, the Israelites were now being prepared by God through Moses to enter the promised land. Now, during their time wandering in the desert, they entirely depended on one another for their very existence. If you can imagine, they're walking in the desert with just whatever they took from Israel, but they didn't have canned goods, that sort of thing. So food would have been important, as we remember from Scripture. Now, the people worked and lived together, and they worked and lived with their immediate families and their extended families. And although the Hebrews were known for their unity, we are very much removed from this today. And what I mean by that is many of us, we do not depend on our extended families for our daily existence. In fact, most of us don't even live in the same city or state as our siblings or moms and dads or cousins. And a lot of this in our modern world, the ease of communication and ready transportation allows our global reach to be endless. We can reach all over the place. And because of that, many people tend to take jobs in different places and move around. And so we kind of leave our family either for educational or job purposes. And because of that, we don't understand quite what the Israelites had back then. They had a very tightly knit family. And additionally, we have also become disconnected with our immediate families since technology and media have centered their programming towards age-specific demographics, as we have just seen the last one. Hardly any of us knew, but the kids knew. And it's really interesting, in fact, in a Pentecostal Evangel daily thing they put out, George Paul Wood talked about how corporations have niche marketing now. And a lot of that, a great example is the game we played. Gone are the days where we would all sit together and watch, say, Little House on the Prairie or Leave It to Beaver. Now, our children, I mean, we have Disney Junior for our little guys. And for upper elementary, we have the Disney Channel. And, of course, there's shows for moms, for dads. And I have to admit, I've fallen victim to that as well, because it's so easy when my daughter wants to watch her Barbie princess movie for the 40th time, I'm tempted to go into the other room and watch a much more sophisticated show with a little bit more maturity level in it. And of course, that's Duck Dynasty. I did say a little bit more maturity. Well, this is in strict contrast to the Israelites, as many of their activities in the houses would have involved parents, children, grandparents, and various extended family members. Their primary goal was to maintain biblical principles in their own lives while teaching and passing them on to their children. Now, the closest I think we have to this is about a century ago when our pioneers and our ancestors came here. They would send their kids to school, and I watched Little House in the Prairie, so I know how this is. They would send their kids to school and to church for a formal education, and then they'd come home, but most of the activity revolved around preparing food, whether gathering it or milking the cow, as I saw Laura Ingle do several times, and gathering that food. And so that's not quite how it works anymore. And so back then, the Israelites would have been very familiar with this. They did activities together, preparation of food and other things to get ready for the family that were essential to the family. And they would take these opportunities to reinforce what they had learned. They would take these opportunities to act out what they had learned. And so we see very clearly that the Israelites were a very tight-knit family. As we see Moses addressing the people of Israel, and this is Deuteronomy 5, 1 through 3. "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees, commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you." Now, once again, Moses is talking to the nation, has multiple generations in it, and he's talking about all future generations. Now, when Moses says, "The Lord your God directed me to teach you," again, we not only see Moses was passing on exactly what God was saying, but also the urgency of following Yahweh or God with exclusive loyalty. Moses was to teach the Israels not merely by publishing these laws, but very importantly, to engage the people in the activity of following him. Moses also impressed the Israelites not only to follow the laws, but to teach them to their children and their children's children. Deuteronomy 6, 2 through 3 outlines four reasons why it is important to live by the covenant. The first one was the covenant inspires reverence for Yahweh or God. Secondly, this reverence or respect and covenant would prolong life of the believer. Thirdly, abiding by this covenant would richly benefit the individual believer. And lastly, as Yahweh or God had promised, Israel would increase in numbers. It is clear once again that God was speaking to all the generations of Israel through Moses. God wanted his commands and laws passed on to future generations so that all would worship him and enjoy the promises that he has provided for us. This was and is up to the parents. However, as we had talked about earlier, it was a part of the family as a whole. Immediate, extended family members can all help children through the daily communication and actions. Now, why am I talking about this in front of kids and in front of parents and everyone in between? You might be here from college, and you might think, well, yeah, this is great, but you know what? My family's back home. Or you might be empty nesters saying, my family is one of those you talked about. They're scattered. But once again, as the church, or as the family of Christ, we all have a place in his kingdom, no matter how young or old we are. Even if our biological family lives across the country or across the world, we are commanded to communicate the gospel to those who are all around us in our daily lives in order that they may come to know God and live by his biblical principles and enjoy his blessings and promises. Now, Richard had just talked earlier about how through girls' ministry and through Rangers, and I'm kind of partial to those because I'm over them, but at the same time, he saw the benefit as a senior pastor of people volunteering as a church family. You see, we come from all walks of life. Our families look completely different than they did in the Old Testament with the Israelites. But that doesn't mean that God has called us to anything less than a church family. And so, as Richard talked about, people investing in others, whether it was the older investing with young or young investing with the old, we are all called to work together, and we are all called to transmit the gospel to the next generation. And that's done through relationships, and it's done through influence. And we need to make sure that we spend the time with all of those around us, no matter if they're young or old, and make sure that we spend time with them, teaching them these principles.